بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته Respected elders, brothers, sisters, my young friends, the format of the Jumu'ah prayer will be slightly different than what we are accustomed to here. So I'll just run over that very quickly. So essentially, the Jumu'ah prayer is made up of two khutbas, two sermons, and then two rak'ahs of Fardhu Salah. These two sermons, or two talks in the beginning, are not like any other regular talk, but rather they are very special in that they have special rules and regulations to them. For example, a verse of the Holy Qur'an must be recited in them for the khutbah to be valid, for example. They are an essential, integral part of the Jumu'ah prayer. So if an imam comes up here and simply leads two rak'ah of salah without giving any khutbah, then the Jumu'ah salah will not be valid. Also, the Prophet ﷺ has commanded that when we listen to the Jumu'ah khutbah, we listen to it attentively, so much so that we don't even tell the person beside us to be quiet if they're speaking. And if we do that, the Prophet ﷺ in a rigorously authenticated a hadith in Sahih Muslim says that will wipe out all the blessings of the Jumu'ah Salah. So therefore these two khutbas are very special. And for this reason, some of the scholars have stated that because of that, the khutbas should also be in the Arabic language. Now there are some who do the Arabic, who do the khutbah in English, one in English, one in Arabic, some do both in English. I prefer to do both in the Arabic language. Now, of course, we understand that not everyone here understands Arabic. And one of the benefits of the Jumu'ah khutbah and the prayer is to remind one another about various issues. So for that reason, it would defeat the purpose if we only had the whole khutbah in Arabic, although it would be valid, but people wouldn't necessarily benefit from it. Not everyone would benefit from it. So therefore, to bring the two together, what we do is we have a translation of the khutbah, or a talk, a general talk in the English language, and then we have the adhan, and then we have the actual two very short khutbas, which contain reminders from the Quran and the Ahadith, and then we have the Salah. Now this talk beforehand that we will have in English doesn't necessarily have to be done before the khutbah. It's just a regular talk. We could have it after the khutbah. We could have it at 8 a.m. in the morning, except no one will be here, right? So the point is that since everyone is here and it's convenient, we also have the talk at this time. But it's not necessary to do so. So after saying all that, I was at Future Shop yesterday to buy a recorder, and I'll talk about that later. But as soon as I walked in, I saw a sign that says, "Sorry, the iPhone 4 is currently out of stock. Please check back later." And this reminded me of the lines that people had formed, especially in Toronto, to get the iPhone 4. Now everyone knew at that time, because it was released later in Canada, that it had a defect and had a reception problem. But at the same time, people had lined up for hours. One person lined up at noon on Thursday, even though the store was going to open at 9 a.m. the next day, to get this product. And then this reminded me, being in Future Shop, it reminded me of their Boxing Day sales. Now, I don't know about Kingston, but generally in Montreal and Toronto and other large cities, you know, people line up like crazy for Future Shop's Boxing Day sales because, you know, they tend to have pretty good deals sometimes, even though there are limited quantities and you might stand in line for, you know, for a few hours and still not get anything. But nonetheless, people do that. Why? Because, you know, they think they'll get a good deal. Sometimes they come back empty-handed, but still, it makes sense. Sometimes they have those annoying mail-in rebates where you have to cut out the UPC code and mail it in and get the rebate. But people still do it, even though if it's for $10 or $20. Now, you know, most of us may not be so fanatic about deals, but at the same time, it's our nature to want things, especially if there's a phenomenal offer or some excellent deal. It might take some time, right? We might get tired. We might come home late. But then at the same time, you'll say that, yes, it was worth it because we saved a substantial amount of money, and the feeling of getting the most bang for your buck is very sweet. So we feel good when we get an excellent deal. But our purchases, you know, they last for as long as, they're good for as long as they last, right? And once they're gone, they're gone. Like, for example, once I bought a really good printer on sale at Future Shop. I didn't line up, by the way. I just found out it's easier to order it online because the sale started a day earlier. But then everyone else found out and their website started crashing and everything else. But now I don't know where that printer is. I think I threw it out by now. So these goods that we buy in this world are only good for what, a few years, for as long as the warranty's there, and then, you know, sooner or later something new comes out and that's it. So just as there are Boxing Day sales, in the same way there is, and that obviously happens every year, once a year, there's also a very different type of sale that occurs every year. And in this sale, we don't need any money to benefit from it. There's no receipts, there's no coupons, you don't have to go online and find coupons. There are no mail-in rebates. The discounts are automatically applied at checkout. Shipping is free, and the goods are delivered to us when we need them most, because sometimes we buy things and we don't really need them, but we just buy them anyway and they just sit around in the drawer. But in this sale, the shipping is recorded for us and it's shipped to us only when we need it. Not only that, but this sale is so special that it also wipes out our bad debts, our outstanding balances. So, you know, sometimes, you know, we have credit cards and we try to avoid interest, of course, but it happens that, you know, sometimes we forget, or we go on a shopping spree, we don't realize, we go above what we can afford, and we have debts and accumulating interest. So this sale actually wipes out all outstanding balances, fixes our credit history, and it totally wipes us clean. So we come out like, you know, we've had a perfect credit history for the last 30 years. So brothers and sisters, welcome to Ramadan. And this point about, you know, wiping out our balances is important, because let's imagine that, you know, if, let's say the Bank of Canada or the CMHC, the Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation, announced today that anyone who comes to their head offices in Ottawa can have their mortgage paid off. Right? Imagine the lineup that would be formed. Now, I don't care, you know, if you have to stand outside for a week or a few days with umbrellas and camping gear and everything, people will do it. Why? Because it's a great deal, right? You owe $200,000, $100,000 on your house, and you want to get it wiped out. And if somebody, you know, you have to work so hard, you're paying it off, now you can just go line up for a week, for a few days, and you can get it forgiven. So everyone will go for that. So now in Ramadan, for us, this is the opportunity of the year when the rewards for good actions are multiplied. And according to one report, by 70 times, if not more. Now, we've got to be excited about this. You know, a lot of times you think about Ramadan and say, oh, you're going to have to fast. Oh, my God, it's in the summer. You know, so early. It's so long. I hope the temperature doesn't go up. We don't have air conditioning. You know, all these issues. But at the same time, we've got to be excited about this, because this is an awesome opportunity. Just think about it. If your employer told you that, you know, if you work like statutory holidays, you get double pay, triple pay perhaps. If your employer told you that you get 70 times the pay or more, now, who, I don't care how much money you make, who wouldn't be here, you know, ready to show up at midnight or 2 a.m. if you're going to get 70 times your salary? So think about it, right? So if we pray, we offer one salah, we get the reward of 70 prayers, if not more. Or if you give $10 in charity, we get the reward of $700 in charity. Now, subhanAllah, isn't that an amazing deal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us such a great opportunity. We don't have to necessarily go too far. The masjid, mashallah, is in the city, it's not too far. You know, or even if you pray at home, you offer our nafil salah, our nawafil at home. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us 70 times or even more. 70, the number 70 is not necessarily specific, right? It's like when we say in the English language, hundreds of, or tens of, or tons of, we don't necessarily mean, you know, like literally hundreds of, or literally tons of something, but it's to emphasize a great number. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us, multiply our reward by a great number, inshallah. And in this month, the coming month of the blessed month of Ramadan, the doors of Jannah are flung open. The doors of mercy are flung open, and the doors of Jahannam, of hellfire, are closed tight. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, said, إذا كان رمضان رمضان فتحت أبواب الرحمة, that the doors of rahmah, of mercy, are opened up. وغلقت أبواب جهنم, and the doors of Jahannam are closed. وسلسلة الشياطين, and the devil, you know, the devils rather, it's plural, the shayateen are chained up. And this is reported by Imam Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim. Now, of course, as I mentioned earlier, Ramadan is best known as the month of fasting. And prescribed, and it's interesting to note that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about fasting, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ. He says that fasting, he doesn't just say, you know, I've ordered fasting, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that fasting has been prescribed to you. It's been written upon you to do it. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best the reason for using that terminology. But one way we could look at it is that a prescription generally is for what? Right? If you get sick, we go to the doctor, we get a prescription, right? It's to remedy something, it's to correct something. Or for example, you know, if there is a structural deficiency in a building, right, the engineers, the architects might get together and prescribe some sort of solution to fix that deficiency. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has prescribed fasting upon us, كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِن قَبَلِكُمْ, as He prescribed to the people before us, to the nations before us. But why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that we may become God-fearing, so that we may develop consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart. And once we are able to do that, because look, the heart is the CPU basically, right? Which, and I'm talking about the spiritual heart here, right? If we're thinking about the actual heart, well, it's pumping blood, yes, but I'm talking about the spiritual heart, which basically commands us normally to do evil, right? But if we can rectify it, if we can tame it up, right? It's like a wild horse, right? That's running around all over the place. If you can tame it up, then it could be a great benefit and bring much good to you. So in the same way, our heart, if you can rectify it and tame it so that it commands good and not evil, then most of our actions, if not all of our actions, most of the time, will also become correct. Now when we think of fasting, we often think of, you know, no food, right? No drink, no marital relations. Which of course it is. But at the same time, it's not only a diet from these things, but it's for our physical bodies, but it's also supposed to be a diet for our souls. And supposed to be a means of training our nafs, our inner self, and depriving it from the things that it wants. Because these are the things that we want, right? We get hungry, we go to the pantry, you know, open it up. You know, we get thirsty, stop by Tim Hortons, grab an ice cap, right? So these are things naturally that, you know, our nafs wants, our desires want, and then we just go and do them. So fasting is supposed to be a means of taming the nafs, of depriving it from the things that it wants. Why? Solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know, fasting is for me and I will give its reward. And the scholars, a lot of the muhaddithun, have said that this implies or suggests that fasting is an act that is specifically, I mean, other actions, obviously we are here for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? No one's going to give us 20 bucks for being here for Jum'ah, but the difference of fasting is that we can't do it for any person, right? So people used to, and perhaps even today in some parts of the world, right, might make sujood to a king, right? They might prostrate to a king, or they might give charity to please someone else. But fasting is an act that isn't done for anyone else, right? Because no one can guarantee, like, what are you going to do? Have someone watching over you for, you know, 10 hours to see if you ate or drank anything? No, right? So fasting is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person fasts, it's only between him or her and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's watching over that person and knowing for sure, you know, whether the person is cheating or not. So this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the idea is that we stop our everyday wants, needs, and not only that though, not just, like I said, drinking and eating, but also our reactions. And just focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. There's a hadith reported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, where he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that fasting is a shield. He described fasting as a shield. And because of which, now here's the reactions part, right? Where he says, do not speak obscenities and actions of the ignorant, such as shouting, right? So the things that are done by those who are ignorant, you know, saying things we're not supposed to, indulging in unnecessary things. And if a person fights with you or curses you, then you say, I'm fasting. So this is the reaction part, that if somebody engages us, provokes us, we step back and we say, this is something I don't want to get into, because I am fasting. So this, from this, we just get a glimpse at the other aspect of fasting, apart from not eating and drinking, but also that we really try to rectify our actions, our behavior, our character, especially in the month of Ramadan. So every year, you know, mashallah, most of us, if not all of us, we abstain from fast, from drinking, from eating, from marital relations. But this year, let's step it up a notch and really go out of our way to maximize the benefits of this phenomenal time. Because you know what, like you know the time, like the feeling when, let's say, you go to you know, for dinner somewhere or something, or somebody takes you out for dinner or lunch, and the food's so good, and you're talking, and you end up overeating, and then you come home, and your stomach's like bloating, and you feel like you had like a million calories, and because the dessert was so good, right? So we should actually be feeling the same way about our souls, because myself first, but all of us, you know, we've really been indulged in this high-calorie diet throughout the year. That was extremely high in carbs and calories and sugar. And, you know, just think about it. Like, how many times have you backbited about someone? You know, we don't even realize it most of the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. You know, but a lot of times we'll just sit together and we start talking, and sooner or later the whole discussion just trails off into backbiting. Right? How many times have we denied people their rights? And a lot of times it's hard to think of these things because you think, well, I didn't do anything to anyone, right? But if you really think about it, perhaps maybe when we go to bed at night and just think back at the last year or our entire lives and think of all the things that we have done that we weren't supposed to. So for example, backbiting or denying people their rights, right? Lying, seeing and listening to things that we weren't supposed to, you know, cheating others, fighting with our spouses, acting inappropriately on the internet, you know, when we thought that no one was looking. How many times have we felt proud? How many times have we felt that we were better than someone else? You know, there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he has warned us that a person with even an iota of pride, even a speck of pride in their hearts, cannot enter paradise and will not enter paradise. Well, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So how many times we thought that we were better than someone else? We looked at someone, oh, look at that person. Oh, you know, I'm so much better than them. Oh, I can do something so much, you know, nicer than them. Or, oh, they don't know how to do this. Or they don't know how to do that. And, oh, I know this, I know that. How many times have we had that thought? And we think about it, was that thought really coming from pride? Because if it was, then we really need to take stock of ourselves. So this is really our chance. You know how we have, like, well, not so much for men, for women, they're like those 30-minute, you know, weight loss programs, centers, curves, whatever. So here we have a 30-day cleansing program, right? So we have a 30-day cleansing program for our souls and our hearts. And we've got to be successful, because if you do it, the Prophet ﷺ has said that whosoever fasts during Ramadan, inshallah, most of us, inshallah, all of us will try to do that. Whosoever fasts in the month of Ramadan with faith, إِيمَانًا وَإِحْتِسَابًا, with faith and seeking his reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will have his past sins forgiven. Now isn't that an amazing deal? You fast in the month of Ramadan with clear faith and clear expectation of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is saying that inshallah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out all your past sins. Whoever prays during the nights in Ramadan with faith and seeking his reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have his past sins forgiven. And the same is said for the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. And this is reported by Imam Muslim. And Sahl ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhu reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in Jannah, there is a gate which is called Ar-Rayyan. So you know you're talking about lining up at future shab, right? So if we line up at the masjid on the nights of Ramadan, right, and we spend our days fasting, and our nights in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we try to maximize all our time. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever fasts, that's what I was saying about the lineup, right? So if we line up here, inshallah, there will be a special door for us that will open in Jannah. Whosoever fasts during Ramadan, in Jannah, there is a gate, which is called Ar-Rayyan, through which only those who observe fasting, so, will enter on the day of resurrection. No one else will be able to enter through it. It will be called out, the angels will call out, where are those who observe fasting? So everyone who has fasted for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will hear this call. That where are those who observe fasting? They will stand up, they will proceed towards that door. When the last of them have entered through that door into Jannah, then that door will be locked and no one else will be entered through that will be able to enter through that door in Jannah. And this is reported by Imam Muslim as well. So now, hopefully, we have enough to be excited about Ramadan. Okay, it's coming up. We've got to take advantage of it. This is the opportunity of a year, the opportunity of a lifetime. So now, what do? Now we need to warm up, right? What happens when there's a marathon? Do any of the runners just sort of, you know, sit back and eat chips and watch TV and then show up on the day of the marathon and say, okay, now we're going to run a marathon? No, right? Almost practically every single athlete needs to warm up. Because if you don't warm up, then, you know, we've got like, you know, pulled muscles and, you know, back aches and all these problems that come on, right? So we need to warm up for this. So now, how do we warm up for Ramadan? Now, this is the practical part, right? So we should all pay attention, inshallah. And these are just some ideas, some suggestions. And try to take note of them, inshallah. One way to warm up, and probably the most easiest, is by increasing our frequency of dua, of prayer, and supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And right amongst, because, you know, right amongst the verses of the Quran that talk about fasting and about Ramadan, right in the, like, smack dab, right in the middle, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And when my servants ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, concerning me, concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I respond to the invocation of the supplicant when he calls upon me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, He's actually telling us, beg of me, I am close to you. Right? The government never comes to you. Well, sometimes they give ads, say we have these programs and so on. But, you know, they don't really come to you and say, hey, make sure you file your taxes. You know, you're going to get a big tax refund. Or maybe that try to advertise sometimes. But no one really comes to us advertising handouts, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that, you know, come, make dua. Ask of me, I am close to you. And I will respond. Now the previous generations, the pious generations of Muslims, they wouldn't spend the entire year thinking of this blessed month. Right? So 6 months before Ramadan, they'll start making dua, you know, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep them alive for this blessed month so that they can actually benefit from it and they can take advantage of all the fantastic things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is offering. And then after Ramadan had passed, they will spend the next 6 months supplicating, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts their deeds. So the entire year was actually spent in the preparation of or thinking about Ramadan. So this is an extremely important occasion. Now, I've talked about warming up, so we need to prepare so that we spend our time efficiently. When there's a lot to achieve in a limited amount of time, what do? We plan, right? And this is what normally makes large corporations in this world successful, right? When you're doing a product launch or, you know, you have an important, you know, event coming up, you plan to maximize that time so that you can use it most efficiently. And this is what makes Muslims successful as well, in the greater sense. So these are the things we should perhaps plan for, some ideas. So first of all, Ramadan, of course, is the month of the Qur'an as well, and the Qur'an was revealed. So there's a special connection between recitation of the Qur'an and the month of Ramadan. So to have dedicated times, set a time, okay, this is when I will recite the Qur'an. Even if it's one page, even if it's two pages, even if it's a small surah, even if it's a long surah, it doesn't matter. Let's set a time and promise to ourselves that, okay, this time you're setting aside to recite the Qur'an, to study its meaning, and to memorize surahs if possible. The other thing to think about, and it might be a bit late, but, you know, how will we manage work and school? You know, can we take vacation, for example? So a lot of people like to take vacation. Now, there are brothers standing outside, so if you could just maybe move forward and make some more room, inshallah. That will be helpful to everyone. Jazakallah khair. So how will we manage work and school? You know, can we take vacation? Can we perhaps lower our workload? Maybe we can work half days. And how are we going to adjust sleep times, right? Because suhoor is going to be pretty early. And, you know, then there's Isha and Salatul Taraweeh in the evening at night. And you know, so our schedules might get a little messed up. So we got to figure out how are we going to plan that out. Especially important, how to limit time used for eating, talking, right? Because, mashallah, even though we're fasting, you know, a lot of time sometimes goes into eating, especially at iftar. So how can we limit that time, the time that we use for eating, for talking, and maximize the time for worship, especially the time between Asr and Maghrib. That's a very beneficial time, and as well as the time after Iftar up to Taraweeh. Because a lot of times, like I said, we spend up, you know, you think, okay, now we got freedom for the day, you know, we can indulge, can eat, do all these other things that we need to do, but let's try to limit that as much as possible so that we can use this time properly. Now, feeding people. Now, there's a great virtue in helping to feed people who break their fast, feeding them well afterwards, but this needs to be balanced because, you know, a lot of times it can become burdensome for those who are cooking, especially the sisters, and what we find is, you know, there's a big party, iftar party, and a lot of food is being prepared, and so much time is spent in preparing for that, which is, of course, with good intentions. But at the same time, you know, we got to balance it out so that sisters don't get overburdened and that they can spend time in direct worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also those who eat a lot then, sometimes you find there's a tendency to get lazy after we eat, right? So you go to a big iftar party, you know, we have a ton of whatever food you like, and then, you know, we don't really feel like standing for Taraweeh prayers afterwards. So you got to take care of that. We should specify a time for dhikr, you know, reciting istighfar, Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbi wa atubu ilayhi, different versions, sending blessings and peace on the Prophet alayhi salam. And finally, plan for suhoor. I mentioned this earlier, because, you know, we might think of it just as a regular breakfast in the morning, but actually there's great blessing in suhoor, and there are numerous ahadith that extol its virtues, and it's something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do regularly. So we should really, really try not to miss suhoor. And if you can after that, if possible, really do try to come to the masjid and offer Fajr Salah with Jama'ah. So as I mentioned, for those who came a bit later, this talk right now is just a pre-khutbah talk, and inshallah we'll have two short khutbahs in Arabic, you know, with reminders from the Quran and the Hadith, and then we'll offer our salah inshallah. I just want to mention that it is also my goal to record whatever goes on inshallah in terms of khutbahs, you know, talks, halaqas, whatever it may be. That's why I was at Future Shop buying that recorder I talked about earlier. So inshallah, this talk, if this recorder has been working okay, will be online, inshallah. And I encourage you to listen to it, pass it on, share it. I'll post it on Facebook, inshallah. So if you want to add me as a friend, or if you want to contact me with feedback or with ideas for khutbah topics and so on, feel free to email me or message me on Facebook, or you could visit my personal website, sikandar.ca, and use the contact form. You can do that. And inshallah, I'll be teaching a short course entitled Reaping the Benefits of Ramadan, inshallah, this Sunday, which is August 8th. After Zuhr Salah, inshallah. So we will study verses of the Qur'an pertaining to Ramadan, a selection of a hadith, as well as some practical tips. So please try to make it, inshallah, and hopefully you will find it beneficial. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me, first of all, and all of us, the tawfiq, the understanding, the strength, the ability to really take advantage of this blessed month, and to really not let it go by, and to maximize our time so that we can worship and then gain the pleasure and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.